Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for sticking around here, those of us devoted to active travel. We're a small but mighty crowd. So first things first, I have really nothing interesting to share. Wish I did maybe have some more interesting financial relationships, but alas, it is not so. I'd like to think I'm preaching to a converted crowd here. We know that physical inactivity is a problem. Transportation related physical activity, that is walking or biking for a purpose, is very well documented to have a number of health benefits, including reduced rates of cardiovascular disease, obesity, all-cause mortality, things like that. However, we know that people are not engaging in these behaviors as much as we would like them to. We have very low rates of active travel here in the United States, only about 3% of people reporting that they're walking to work, and less than 1% reporting that they're biking to work. So that's fairly minimal, certainly when you look at countries around the world. You look at, for example, the Netherlands has a tremendously high proportion of trips made by bicycle. So physical activity is good, active transportation also good benefits, but we're just not doing it. So, and something else that's probably not new to anybody else, we know that participation rates in physical activity tend to decline fairly steadily as we head on through from childhood into adolescence. There's a fairly steady decline into young adulthood. So these transitionary times really provide us with some critical moments for intervening, especially during those college ages. One is starting to provide some habits and things like that to really instill healthy lifetime behavior. So if we can get in there and target some of these declines in physical activity at this very important transitional time, it helps us to be able to create a healthier adult and continue that over a long period of time. However, depending on what national survey you might end up looking at, we know that college students tend to not be as active as we would like them to be. 40 to 50% of college students not taking part in any physical activity, potentially only about half engaging in the recommended amount of physical activity. So depending on which statistics you look at, for the most part, we see less than optimal rates of physical activity participation. And of course, that is closely linked to a lot of other health outcomes. We think about weight gain associated with college, starting college in the traditional freshman 15 and things like that. So the idea of trying to prevent a lot of chronic conditions before they start, this is an ideal time to target that. So we do have fairly limited information looking at the physical environment at colleges and how that can potentially interact with physical activity participation, obesity, or weight status amongst this group that is, you know, hovering in between adolescence and adulthood, a very different kind of group than many other groups in the population. So in order for us to be able to plan interventions to intervene, we obviously need to do a better job of understanding where we're at. So we can't think about where we want to go until we understand where we are. So the goal of this particular study was really to examine what are some of the correlates of active travel to and from campus, what are some of the influences on active travel to and from campus in a cohort of college students. And we're actually going to look at this by weight status, so something that's really not been examined in too much detail up till this point in time. So this particular study was a cross-sectional online survey that we did using the Qualtrics program, and we sampled during September. So that's 1 month into our school semester, our fall semester. So students theoretically have established regular travel patterns and things like that. So you can imagine Pennsylvania State University was our university of choice here. We have a fairly large college population, 45,000 rather, undergraduate and graduate students spread across 14 different colleges. So fairly large, actually the size of some towns, even certainly listening to some presentations in the previous section, larger than many towns in Vermont apparently. So it is located in beautiful State College, Pennsylvania, a small eastern United States city. We have about 154,000 people in the surrounding community. So somewhat unique environment but fairly representative of a lot of college towns throughout the United States. So after approval from the Institutional Review Board, we were able to start to recruit students. We did this looking at all students as our eligible population. Undergraduate and graduate students were eligible to participate. And we recruited in a variety of different ways. We sent out listserv email invitations on listservs for departments and other groups. We worked with the campus newspaper and put an online ad. We posted flyers with a QR code on there so students could scan the QR code and go from their mobile phone, from their smartphone, directly to the website for the survey. So we actually, that was the first time we had ever done that with an online survey, and actually worked really well. Our Qualtrics survey program really does a nice job of setting up a mobile-enabled web-based survey. So the things that we asked about are basic demographics, of course, age, sex, racial or ethnic background. We asked self-report height and weight, their education level if they were undergraduate or graduate students. And of course, we did calculate body mass index from that height and weight, and we dichotomized them based on their BMI into normal weight students or overweight. And we had a couple of people who were categorized as underweight, but I believe it was only three or four people in the entire sample. So really just lumped them in with our normal weight students. So we asked a number of psychological outcomes, self-efficacy, or how confident the students were in biking on campus, as well as a part of their general state college community. Both campus and the state college area are certified as bronze level bike friendly from the League of American Cyclists. So we do have some supports in place. They're not fantastic, but there are some community level supports as well as campus level supports for biking. So we also asked a number of questions about what are some things that influence the way that you travel to campus. And this was from a list of previous research that I conducted, and also looking at some of the other studies out there, looking at what things influence people's travel choices. People answered with a 5-point Likert scale of 1, not at all an important factor, to 5. This is a very important factor when I think about how I'm going to travel to campus. We asked people if they lived on or off campus, and the off-campus students, we asked them, how far do you think you live away from campus? And then how long do you think it would take you to walk to campus if you were to walk to campus? So we also asked about some social environment things, and some of my previous research has actually looked at some social influences on active travel, and I wanted to see if those relationships existed in students as well, amongst college students. So we asked the off-campus participants if they lived with somebody who traveled to campus, and how did that person typically travel to campus? Did they typically walk, drive, bike, take public transportation, whatever it might be? And we also asked kind of a social desire for social support type of question, asking students, I would walk or bike more often between classes if I had somebody to walk with. Now, looking at some of the environmental influences, people who lived off campus, we asked them if they had a parking permit, if their place of residence offered a bike rack, if they had access to a car or a bike, and how pedestrian-friendly campus you felt the campus was. We also asked the off-campus participants to report how they traveled to campus, and we asked about all 7 days separately. We asked about traveling to campus and from campus separately. Students, of course, and many of you having been in college or working on college campuses, students have very variable schedules. So they might come and go to campus 2 or 3 times a day. So we wanted to offer as much flexibility as we could to understand the range of travel options that they might engage in. So for everyone, we actually asked them how they typically travel in between classes while they're on campus. Penn State is a fairly long, skinny campus. We're about 2 miles long, so a fairly spread out campus, about a half a mile, maybe up to three quarters of a mile tall for the main campus area. So we do have a shuttle system that's available on campus, and we wanted to understand, were people opting to use the shuttle service, were they opting to drive, or were they picking an active mode of transportation and walking or biking? So we wanted to understand what was their primary mode in between classes. So we did some basic analyses, just some descriptives and frequencies to describe our sample, and then we used a couple of chi-square and t-tests to look at some of the differences between the normal weight and the overweight students for some of these different variables. Of the eligible student body, 950 accessed the survey, 875 completed the survey, which resulted in an 89% completion rate, though we had a little bit less than that with usable BMI data, so 773 with usable BMI data. For the most part, our sample was fairly representative of the Penn State population. Non-Hispanic white was our largest racial or ethnic group, more females, more undergraduates, and many living off campus, which is fairly representative of our campus. Among the sample, 63% were classified as normal weight, and 24% were classified as overweight. Just to look at some differences by weight status, just really quick here, that wasn't the main focus of our study, but we just wanted to kind of understand what we were looking at. Normal weight students were younger compared with overweight students, and we actually saw that Asian American and Pacific Islander students were more likely to be overweight or obese compared with non-Hispanic white students. Males were more likely to be overweight compared with females, and graduate students were more likely to be overweight compared with undergraduates, which kind of makes sense if you look at that first point there. So I'm assuming those two things go hand in hand. So if we start to break things out and look at travel patterns by weight status among our students here, on the left we have the number of trips per week of active transportation. So this was walking and biking, number of trips per week these students were taking. So you can see there was a significant difference that normal weight students were much more, had reported many more trips per week of active transportation, and normal weight students were also more likely to be reporting active transportation as the main mode of travel between classes. So both to campus and on campus, normal weight students were much more likely to choose an active mode. We also saw here that we actually saw that overweight students were a little bit more likely to be living off campus compared with normal weight students. As far as the perceived walk time to campus, we actually saw that overweight students perceived that the walk time was slightly greater. So a greater percentage of overweight students saying that it would take them more than 20 minutes to walk to campus. And if we looked at the distance data, we would see the exact same thing. So overweight students thinking that they live farther from campus and thinking it's going to take them a longer amount of time to get to campus compared with normal weight students. Okay. If we looked at perceived influences on mode of travel, overweight students were more likely to report that appearance was an influence on their mode of travel, as well as parking availability. And I can't, the way I worded the question, I'll learn for next time, a lack of parking availability or the abundance of parking availability. So parking is important. I don't know which way it goes. That's a limitation. Sorry about that. We did see that normal weight students were much more likely to say that they had a place to park their bike at their place of residence, and overweight students were much more likely to say that they had access to a car, and also were more likely to report having a parking pass. So overweight students both having a car, having a parking pass, and although not significant, overweight students actually were slightly more likely to report access to a bicycle. So a little bit of an unexpected finding there. For our social environment, we actually saw that normal weight students were much more likely to report somebody having a roommate that walks, less likely to report having a roommate that drives, and more likely to say that having somebody to walk or bike with would help them to walk more in between classes. So So just to reiterate, we had a couple of interesting findings here on how weight status is related to travel on campus. Certainly a number of places where we can intervene here, looking at parking. Many campuses now are restricting parking availability on campus, so that could be a potential way. Pitching it as maybe eco-friendly, a way to save time, a way to save money, potentially a way to address that. Off-campus residence is actually fairly similar to some of the other evidence that is out there that shows that the longer students are in college, the more likely they are to become overweight. Transitioning to off-campus actually exacerbates the decline in physical activity. So maybe partnering with off-campus housing complexes to try to address some of these things, increasing access to bike parking and things like that. And social support has long been found to be an influence on physical activity in all ages and age groups. Drawing on some of the workplace active transportation strategies, we could certainly do that in college campuses. Number of limitations, most notably, of course, our cross-sectional study, our lack of generalizability, and our self-report measures. So just to conclude, this hopefully gives us a little bit of an insight for the potential to develop active transportation interventions on college campuses that will lay the groundwork for actively commuting adults sometime in the future. So I'd like to thank the Physical Activity and Public Health Lab at Penn State for all their help with this particular project. And I don't know if I have enough time left for questions or not.
4 minutes.
Okay. Yep. So. All right. Yes. Right. You know, and that's a good question, and there are some good studies out there that show that especially on current college campuses with the breadth of options available and things like that, how that can relate to nutritional status and overweight status. We did not ask that, so that's a good point. So. We've played around with the data a little bit at this point in time. I think there's a lot more that we can get into, but that would be a good approach to kind of try to look at controlling for some of these other variables and things like that. So, especially with age coming up as being an important factor. So, hi. I did ask them how far that they felt that they lived, as well as how long it would take them to get to campus. And they were very closely correlated. I only presented the how long do you think it would take you to walk to campus. But it worked out pretty much the exact same. It was significantly different for the overweight students. They perceived that it would take them longer to get to campus and reported that they lived further from campus than the normal weight students. So, yeah. We did ask about perceived safety from traffic and perceived safety from crime, and neither of those variables were related whatsoever. So State College is a very safe town, fairly limited property crime, violent crime, anything at all like that. So it's maybe, and that makes it a little bit different than, you know, maybe a larger city. So.
One more minute for one more question, maybe.
Of course, I do. Having living in State College and actually living outside of State College, what are some practical implications for those commuters in terms of who are some partners in the community that you might consider talking to? I'm thinking CATA.
Mm-hmm. State College. Right, so CATA is our public bus system. And they have been really good about putting bike racks in the front of all of our buses. So there's, especially for students who maybe live a little bit further out, having the opportunity to put a bike on the bus is a great option. We did ask about how often you put a bike on the bus. I don't believe it was different for normal weight versus overweight, but we're looking at kind of what does the general population look like. Our Center Region Bike Coalition also, too, has been a great partner trying to say, okay, how do we reach out to students? It's a fairly transient population. We did ask about knowledge about bike lanes and things like that in the communities, and the students were not surprisingly lacking a lot of knowledge about what bike lanes and bike routes were available in the community. So I think maybe it's not a we need to build more of it, it's we need to tell the students that they're there kind of thing. So. Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you.